Larry Ellison is now the richest person in the world.
An Oracle to 370 from 270, reiterating his buy rating.
OpenAI has signed a $300 billion deal with Oracle for cloud.
Larry Ellison's net worth jumped $100 billion overnight, the highest single jump in history, which briefly put him as the richest man on Earth. But the weird part, his company doesn't build AI. It doesn't make chips either. So why on earth is OpenAI paying them $300 billion? And how did Ellison quietly position himself to become the most important figure in AI without anyone noticing? This is how Oracle rules the AI industry from the shadows. How after missing one tech revolution, he made sure to never miss another. So, what's actually going on? On September 10th, OpenAI and Oracle announced a deal, a contract for $300 billion. Oracle share price just went vertical. But what does this company even do? Oracle doesn't have an AI like GPT, Claude, or Gemini, and they don't make chips or GPUs like Nvidia either. They're actually a cloud and computing infrastructure provider, like AWS, or at least that's the part of their business that's relevant here. Oracle has colossal warehouses of data centers. Nvidia provides the chips, Oracle provides the space, electricity, cooling, networking, and compute power, and rents that out to OpenAI, Meta, and others, who of course need computing for AI. A very big, very complicated, very lucrative middleman, if you will, which to many seemed to come out of nowhere. But that opens another question. Why did Larry Ellison's net worth jump $100 billion? In the AI boom, we've seen some crazy jumps in net worth. Sam Altman, Zuckerberg, Larry Page from Google, Jensen Huang, and of course, Elon Musk. But why Ellison and why a jump of over $100 billion? According to Bloomberg, this was the biggest one-day increase ever recorded. Not even Jensen Huang, despite founding Nvidia, saw a jump like that. And that's because equity always wins. Huang owns about 3% of Nvidia, and even with just that, he's one of the world's richest people. Zuckerberg owns an impressive 13% of Meta, but Larry is on a different level. He still owns 42% of Oracle. So that leap after the OpenAI deal went pretty much straight to his net worth. But there's a big catch about this. Net worth is the value of his assets, and while everyone's bullish about Oracle and OpenAI, there is a big caveat.
So OAI has $10 billion in annual revenue. They're going to need to come up with $60 billion for this contract alone. And then on Oracle's side, they're probably going to have to take on debt to buy the chips that they need to meet this contractual demand. So they're putting a lot of eggs into one basket with this.
That $300 billion deal isn't cash up front. It's an RPO, remaining performance obligations. It's a deal for future revenue over 5 years starting in 2027. Not far, but certainly not right now. There are plenty of risks to this big deal, though also enough promise to send Oracle's price to the stratosphere. This will heavily ride on OpenAI's ability to fund usage. High risk, but higher reward.
If they can get the RPO converted to revenue, it's gonna work. I would say the big risk is whether OpenAI can pull off getting funding and keep growing because their cash flow is negative. So it all depends on OpenAI being a stable and thriving enterprise.
Analysts expect negative cash flow for years from Oracle before the payoff. They're going to need to build big and are expected to need 4.5 gigawatts of power. More than the electricity produced by 2 Hoover dams or the amount consumed by about 4 million homes. That's big, but there's something strange happening. Despite everyone saying we're in a bubble, AI leaders are betting unbelievably huge on the future. Nvidia recently announced $500 billion of investment into AI factories. Not factories for chips, but factories which produce tokens for AI.
And they are designed to manufacture tokens. And these tokens could be reformulated into productive intelligence for so many industries that AI factories are now part of a country's infrastructure, which is the reason why you see me running around the world talking to heads of states, because they all want to have AI factories. They all want AI to be part of their infrastructure. They want AI to be a growth manufacturing industry for them. And this is genuinely profound.
It almost seems like things are just getting started. In the first half of 2025, AI startups raised $44 billion, which is more than the entirety of 2024. And Goldman Sachs estimates that total AI investments will soar to $200 billion. Morgan Stanley analysts predict nearly $3 trillion of global spending on data centers through 2028, with over $900 billion anticipated in 2028 alone. But there's something even stranger here. Oracle is very much a legacy tech company. They were formed in the 70s, and in cloud, they've always been behind AWS. So why are Oracle's the winner here and not AWS? To find out, we need to take a look back. Up until recently, Oracle seemed like a very boring company. In the 1970s, when Larry Ellison and his co-founders formed it, Oracle provided SQL database systems for businesses. This sounds like the cloud, but it's very different. Companies would buy a license from Oracle, who installed software in the company's own servers and provided IT support. And they did very well for a long time. Their revenue grew over time, they did an IPO, and moved into other software products like financials and manufacturing. But things began to go wrong. The most important time in Oracle's life was actually in the 2000s. A new industry was emerging and Oracle was left in the dust, the cloud. Not software, but instead warehouses of computing power and storage. Amazon launched in 2006 and soon others began to follow, but not Oracle. For the longest time, Ellison thought cloud technology was just a fad and another buzzword. The interesting thing about cloud computing is that we've redefined cloud computing to include everything that we already do. The computer industry is the only industry that is more fashion-driven than women's fashion. Maybe I'm an idiot, but I have no idea what anyone is talking about. What is it? It's complete gibberish, it's insane. When is this idiocy going to stop? This was in 2008. It's easy to poke fun at this stance today, but there have been plenty of trends that promised everything and turned out to be nothing. Remember the NFT craze? Ellison was right in that cloud computing claimed to include everything, but it really did. AWS was moving into computing power, storage, databases, networking, data and analytics, Internet of Things, pretty much anything and everything you can think of. Ellison soon received a wake-up call. After the hype came the numbers. AWS broke even around 2009, then it became more and more lucrative. Its revenue and income began doubling every year, but there's more. Despite bringing in 1/10 as much revenue, AWS made twice the amount of profit as Amazon Retail. It was growing fast, but was also wildly profitable. And while profits were growing, so were the customers.
Most internet startups and a lot of big internet companies run on top of AWS. Netflix, very famously, and you could say, oh, that's very odd because Netflix, in a way, is a competitor of Amazon.
Other than Netflix, who else uses AWS?
Oh, big enterprises, big government institutions.
Like the CIA.
The CIA.
AWS wasn't alone either. Other companies jumped in like IBM and notably Salesforce. Ellison realized he had been wrong. The future of enterprise was very clear, cloud, and they had missed the boat. In 2012, the company finally released Oracle Cloud. They were far behind, but perhaps they could still catch up? Things were looking bleak for Oracle. Revenue was flat while AWS was exploding. In 2014, AWS generated $4.6 billion, yet just 2 years later, that was at $12.2 billion. Oracle was losing badly, so Oracle made a massive change. Larry Ellison stepped down as CEO. Was this him admitting defeat? Was he passing the reins? Not exactly. He did pass the reins of CEO to both Safra Catz and Mark Hurd, who accelerated the focus on cloud, but Larry moved on to an arguably more important job, CTO or Chief Technology Officer. Not only that, he also became the executive chairman of the board, meaning he was still at the top. We might think of CEO as the most important role, but it's also the most demanding and more involved in the day-to-day. Being chairman, though, meant Ellison could plan for the future, and that's exactly what he did. Ellison had a new strategy. Oracle invested over $5 billion into R&D for cloud. AWS was all about general purpose, cloud workloads for all kinds of customers, everything. Ellison realized Oracle needed to take a different approach. After a few years of silence, in 2018, he unveiled their next big step, Gen 2 Cloud. This was their second attempt at a cloud infrastructure, with big improvements and a different focus, something called bare metal infrastructure. According to the press release, this was designed to help enterprises run various performance-sensitive workloads such as artificial intelligence or engineering simulation. It would use cutting-edge NVIDIA Tesla GPUs to run a neural network AI training and instantly add value to their data. This was in 2018. Neural network architecture is the foundation of large language models like ChatGPT, which launched and took off in 2022. Ellison may not have known LLMs would explode in a couple of years, but he did understand where the world was heading. The press release ends by saying, customers will be able to take advantage of cluster networking as part of the next generation of NVIDIA Tensor Core GPUs, opening up large-scale GPU workloads such as AI and deep learning. Oracle had lost the cloud to Amazon and others by being too slow, but decided to pivot to another rising trend ahead of time, AI. Investing billions into the cloud would so happen to be exactly what LLMs need. That's why OpenAI signed a $300 billion deal with Oracle. It's an ironic twist. The man who once dismissed the cloud as nonsense is now supplying cloud services to power some of the most ambitious AI projects on Earth. And it's not just OpenAI either. Other giants like Meta are also signing deals with Oracle for AI training. Ellison had missed the cloud trend, or rather, ignored it, and he paid for it. But to his credit, he didn't let that happen again. That's how, at least temporarily, he became the richest man on Earth. But there's still a big problem. Companies are betting big with revenue they don't yet have. They're expecting a future that seems so lucrative, it doesn't even appear to be real, especially when we look behind the hype. Most companies have actually been underwhelmed by AI. A study by researchers from MIT found that most new AI integrations did not generate rapid revenue acceleration. In fact, only 5% did. And which 5%? Startups led by 19 or 20-year-olds, for example, have seen revenue jumps from 0 to 20 million in a year. It's because they pick one pain point, execute well, and partner smartly with companies who use their tools. Some bigger companies pull it off, but most fail at integrating them. Leaders or managers treat them as plug and play. ChatGPT might be able to adapt to how you work individually, but scaling that for systems and workflows of a giant enterprise? There's been less success. This is why giant companies like Klarna or even IBM, who laid off thousands of employees, are now quietly hiring them back. The reality is that companies need humans, and YouTube channels need subscribers. We're working on crossing 1 million subscribers, and if you've been watching without subscribing, I would really appreciate if you hit subscribe. With how much money is thrown at AI, the economics of all of it starts to leave reality. With so much money riding on AI, anything less than a complete upheaval of the world as we know it will look like a failure. A typical financial analysis indicates that the top 7 big tech companies should be seeing an extra $600 billion in yearly revenue, a number so large, it's nearly meaningless. For context, Walmart, which makes the most revenue on the planet, is around $600 billion. So all these companies would need to add an extra Walmart to their revenue. Some investors are having second thoughts, and even Sam Altman himself said in August, "Are we in a phase where investors as a whole are overexcited about AI? My opinion is yes." The same man who offered $300 billion to Oracle. AI is a strange, giant contradiction. Overvalued, yet somehow only a fraction of what it's going to be worth. We'll wait and see, but at the very least, right now is a very good time to be Larry Ellison. It's not a good time to be Intel, though, who is literally being bailed out by the US government. Check out this video to learn more. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.